Hello, and welcome to the Virtual Teams Podcast. My name is Jenna Thornton, and today we will discuss the unique trends found in Ames Field Research Program. As part of this program, we interviewed 150 virtual team leaders, members, and global executives over a 10-month period. This research was conducted in preparation for Yael Zofi's upcoming book, A Manager's Guide to Virtual Teams, to be released in the winter of 2010. And this podcast provides a sneak preview with key highlights around how virtual teams communicate, build trust, confront conflict, and deliver results successfully. Our report, which is available online at aim-strategies.com, provides greater detail about these trends and the future of virtual teams. I am here with Yael Zofi, founder and CEO of AIM Strategies, and author of several books, including her latest book, A Manager's Guide to Virtual Teams. Joining her are researchers Galit Ronan and Emily Linder. So what is the future of virtual teams? We will shortly find out the answer to this important question about the most popular team in the world, the virtual team. So hello, Yael, Emily, and Galit.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Jenna.
Yael, I'll start with you. What made you decide to write this book, A Manager's Guide to Virtual Teams?
Well, for over 20 years, I dealt with a variety of teams in the public and private sector. I've been both an observer and a participant in the change from on-site traditional teams to teams that work in separate locations anywhere in the world. I'm always curious about how human beings connect, how teams develop, and what happens when different cultures come together. My passion is to investigate, design, and innovate. And at my company, AIM Strategies Applied Innovative Management, we always try to maintain that spirit. This book actually developed in a roundabout way. In the late 1990s, I was working on a global leadership model that looked at key elements of successful leadership in the 21st century. I then accepted a multinational assignment that involved over 20,000 people, where I was exposed to important trends such as outsourcing, offshoring, the dot-com boom and bust, and the rise of the BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. By 2000, my ideas about what global leadership would mean were tested against these real-world scenarios. I knew then that I had the core of something important. Global leadership in the new century would definitely be about connecting people in an increasingly virtual world.
How does this tie in with what you call the agent of connection?
At that time, I spoke at several conferences and wrote articles about the concept of moving from agent of change to agent of connection and how the role of the leader is to be the people connector. I even published a book called Communicating Through a Global Lens, but that wasn't enough. I wanted to write another book about the human connection, and it became clear that virtual teams was the topic. The publisher liked my ideas around human connection and virtual teams, so everything came full circle. And my work in the past focused on helping teams become more effective. Now I focus on enabling that human connection, even when team members are not in the same room.
That is quite interesting. So what's your message in the book?
Well, today, even though we're connected in so many ways, people still feel disconnected. Technology surrounds us 24/7. But what about the human element? Connecting people with people across time zones, cultures, and languages, bridging that gap. The key message I want to convey is how to bridge human connection in a virtual world, especially if you are a virtual manager.
In preparation for this book, I understand that you interviewed 150 virtual managers and team members to get additional insights. Galit, since you helped to lead this research, tell me what process you followed.
Well, we conducted interviews to expand our knowledge of virtual teams and their challenges. We wanted to make this book practical, and we wanted to provide real stories and experiences from the field. Our data analysis includes several elements. First, we used qualitative data because it provides rich information. Second, interviews were conducted virtually, with a few exceptions. Third, we asked open-ended questions that allowed for a natural flow of conversation. Fourth, our questions focused on key factors that make virtual teams successful. Clients shared their personal experiences highlighting specific challenges. And finally, we developed our own software to analyze the data. And of course, these interviews were confidential, so names were not mentioned in the report or the book.
Let's move to Emily. So what was the most interesting trend that you found?
The trend that surprised us the most is that you don't need to engage in face-to-face communication to build trust in a virtual team.
Why was this a surprise?
Well, when we started the research, we thought that building trust would be the biggest challenge because you can't see your coworkers or you don't share a physical space with them. That's a real barrier. Some teammates never met each other and would say things like, "I don't know who this person really is, what they look like, what they are like. I never met them." We found that face-to-face communication was actually not always required for building trust in virtual relationships. Although 65% of respondents said that they would prefer a form of face-to-face interaction, for 63%, trust was built through constant virtual communication. Team members need to know that you are accessible and that you will not disappear for long periods of time. This also builds accountability. Demonstrating honesty was highlighted by 28% of interviewees as a prerequisite for trust.
That is interesting. Did you find that most virtual teams never meet at all?
Many virtual teams we interviewed met at least twice a year or even once a quarter. They found that the cost of travel more than makes up for the cost of lost time due to miscommunication, conflicts, and inefficiencies. We found that meeting in person, even one time, can drastically improve other aspects of the virtual relationship. While it's nice to have face-to-face interaction, when that's not possible, virtual teams still can accomplish great things.
That is surprising also. You started to touch on communication. How is communication different on a virtual team?
We found that in addition to being accessible and reliable, communicating your context is essential. And what we mean by that is giving extra information to explain where you are and what you're doing. On-site teams do not have to provide these additional cues because people can see that you're in your office, at a meeting, busy with paperwork, etc. In the virtual environment, however, teammates don't know when you're traveling, working, or even out to lunch.
Yes, and when you can't see your teammates, you depend on them to proactively tell you when they will not be available, even when the unexpected occurs. If you don't communicate the context, people might wonder where you are. With the speed of technology today, people expect a quick response. Through our research, we heard stories of teammates questioning, where is this person? Is he or she even working? Virtual team members often go through hundreds of emails a day. That we call information overload. What's needed is for teams to come up with common procedures around response times, and the book will include several examples of such techniques.
Essentially, we learned that you have to hyper-communicate the context of your environment and have team norms around communication. It's not always an intuitive and obvious need.
It is different when you can't see your teammates coming in and out of their office. Tell me, is it also hard to communicate with individuals from different countries? Well, what suggestions, techniques did you find?
The cross-cultural elements is a whole other layer. It is such an important topic that I also wrote a book called Communicating Through a Global Lens. It serves as a guide for business customs in different countries across the world. Culture is not an issue only for the global team. It can also be a concern for teams that are dispersed in different regions or for people from different cultures who work in the same location. 45% of our respondents felt that conflict was caused by lack of cultural understanding. Even when the same language was spoken, interpretations can vary wildly. For example, done or yes can mean different things in different countries. 47% of the participants had some difficulty interpreting the same language. In the book, I call this lost in translation.
Isn't it also hard for teammates to get to know each other on a personal level? What is your perspective about that?
Some teams found great ways of connecting with each other virtually using technology. We have many stories, but one that comes to mind is about a team that celebrated birthdays together via video conferencing. Everyone got a small gift in the mail, and the birthday person got a big gift. They opened the gifts during the video conference together, and it was 8 a.m. for some people, while it was 8 p.m. for others, yet they were celebrating together as a team.
And although that team found a great way to use technology, we were surprised that few virtual teams utilized video conferencing as an alternative. Although video conferencing, virtual worlds, and other tools are available, the vast majority still relied on email and phone. When asked about future trends, 47% of respondents said technological advances will help improve virtual team interaction.
Galit and Emily, I understand that you worked on this report virtually. How was that experience?
That's right. We finished gathering data for the report, and we continue to collaborate online. I began to identify with working around the clock because I had a different schedule from my teammates. I often worked late at night and sometimes had to wait until the end of the next business day to see what changes occurred. It was like being in a different time zone. Besides working 24/7, I also realized how much you need to over-communicate information. We opened a shared document to work on the planning aspects, but it never occurred to me that I had to send emails to let team members know that it was time to check it. Things need to be spelled out more clearly on virtual teams. Many things are not always obvious, and you can't leave anything open to interpretation.
Yes, I noticed that, and I was surprised when I got emails at 2 a.m. and wondered if I needed to respond right away. I happened to be awake at the time, but I wasn't sure how clearly my response would be at that hour. On other teams, I've dealt with clients that I never met. and you can still get to know teams pretty well, even if you don't meet them. You can pick up a lot of cues from their voice on the phone and get to know their personality and their working style.
So it seems that you both got to experience firsthand some of the trends that you found. Now let's look at today. According to your data, what is the biggest challenge that virtual teams face?
The biggest challenge is working around the clock, as Emily mentioned, in many time zones, which 52% reported as a problem. The big issue is around coordinating teams that follow the sun and work 24/7. Even our own research team had issues with this, and we were in the same time zone.
The biggest issue surrounding working around the clock, as we touched on, is that many virtual teams are now global and work across all time zones. Also, 31% of our participants indicated that they are in constant meetings throughout the day. So it's not only about getting the work done, it's also about being able to speak with each other on the phone. So different time zones are definitely a challenge.
So what is the future of virtual teams? Where are we heading? And why is this information relevant to those who don't currently work on a virtual team?
What we heard from the people that we interviewed and the trends that we saw is that virtual teams are becoming more prevalent as businesses enter new global markets, try to diversify their teams with new talent and cut costs, both by hiring elsewhere and eliminating real estate costs. So even if you do not work virtually right now, you probably know somebody who does. And soon, you might find yourself working virtually.
Well, this has been very enlightening. Thank you, Yael, Emily, and Galit for sharing your research. You mentioned interesting trends, and there are so many more to discuss, but unfortunately, our time is limited. You can discover more in our report, AIM on Virtual Teams, on our website, aim-strategies.com. Also, later this year, you can check out our new book, A Manager's Guide to Virtual Teams. And if you were intrigued by the cross-cultural communication topic, you can learn more in our booklet, Communicating Through a Global Lens. As always, we love to hear from you, our listeners, clients, and supporters, so feel free to contact us if you have any questions or comments. Thank you for listening.